You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Ender, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, and XV. Transformers!
I'm Brian Kilby, your absent-minded, goofy host, and with me I have Rob Springer, Peter Van, a.k.a. Weebum. I'm not going to do the AKKKA thing that John does because...
get you in a lot of trouble.
Different show.
I'm a white
different
dude.
Audience.
I can't say that.
yeah, I can say all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, so also I have XV, Lady Wreck, and Rob Springer. Did I already say Rob?
You said yes. Rob second.
Awesome.
So not only did you introduce Rob twice, you introduced Rob twice and neglected completely to introduce John.
So basically, I'm Beta and Omega.
He referenced me. I'll take
John.
That.
John introduced himself.
John.
That's right.
John precludes.
John, yeah, John DeLuna needs no introduction, ladies.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
I was going to say that.
I'm just
he
here.
No
just assume I'm here. Yeah. Assume I am in your house.
We help represent the minority of the fandom.
The John DeLuna is coming from inside the house.
That's right.
And the minority would be cool people.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Oh, no.
I was thinking like census-branded minority, but okay.
you know, on my birth certificate, I'm white. Just because when I was born, Hispanic wasn't an option.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Nice.
How about that?
Damn.
So I just checked off white.
You checked off white with your baby.
Yeah. I guess my dad just looked at me for a second and said, ah, sure. Huh?
Fantastic.
Check
we'll
that.
Paint him white. We'll just paint
Check
him
that.
White.
Yeah. Eh, close enough. Whatever.
That'd make a terrible.
They do skin bleaching, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They do.
Look where it got Michael Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. A fake nose.
So this is the Transformers Internet Radio Show.
The racially sensitive one
where we talk about Transformers for about an hour, kinda. So, lots of news this week. I think it's going to be a news-packed show. JD's not here, so JD can sort of drag things on. I can't, so let's just jump right in. So, Masterpiece Rodimus. This week, right after the show, last week, learned that there will indeed be a Masterpiece Hot Rod mode. Which, sold. I'm sold on that. I don't think I'm going to wait on an American release, but if I was, there's a rumor, and you know this is a rumor. I don't buy it, but it's interesting. The suggestion is that the U.S. release will not include the trailer, but will include the Target Master. What's up with that?
That's weird.
It's an odd rumor.
It's a silly rumor, but the thing is, it's silly enough to where it could happen.
The thing is, it's like, okay, the point would be to not give the trailer and the extra trailer kibble to save money. That way the Hot Rod toy could be under $100 that retailers would want to carry at. Then you add in a whole brand new figure into the box, and it starts shooting right back up there.
We don't know that it's a brand new figure, because it's entirely possible that Takara has already got the mold for it, and will be using it in a subsequent release of this toy.
Yeah.
What happened with Grimlock, I would say that's not unlikely.
Yeah.
True.
It's entirely possible. I'm honestly surprised that he doesn't include, was it Firebolt? So,
at that rate, I would imagine the U.S. version would be marketed as Hot Rod that can just happen to upgrade into Rodimus Prime.
Yeah.
They can't market it as Hot Rod.
Yeah.
It'd be Rodimus.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Major.
They're marketing it as the younger, cooler character.
Yes.
Yes, Jed Nelson.
So less failure.
Right.
Well, here's
more
the thing.
Breakfast Club.
If they release the toy without the trailer, I don't think he's going to command a $60 premium. I'm expecting $40 tops.
Which would be
The robot's not even that big.
They'll probably still have to sell him for $60 to $70. It's just nobody will want it for that price.
Okay, that's too much. That's just
it is.
Much.
It is for just Rodimus and no trailer.
Yeah.
I could see that base from the second American version of Prime coming with them just for beefing up the price points that rate if that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening, too. Oh.
Yeah, that would make sense. And that was the one that played the touch, didn't it?
Fake Peter Cullen quotes. So it could be like fake Judd Nelson quotes.
That would be great, dude. I would totally take fake.
Man.
I would take fake Judd Hirsch quotes if I could.
What a country.
So that would be great. Oh, I missed that one. So I have the original release.
Coming to think about it, seeing that next year is like, what, the 25th anniversary of the cartoon movie? Mm-hmm. What if it had Hot Rod and the DVD in the box?
What are they doing with the DVD now? I mean, Sony still has it, don't they? They haven't released it in a while.
I thought Sony BMG went out. I could be wrong.
Is it Paramount?
I don't know who owns the animated movie now, because Sony might still own it. They don't have a label in place to distribute it, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense until the legalities of Sony BMG has to distribute it. Then they'd have to spend the extra court cost to make another branch of Sony legally responsible for distributing.
Knowing Sony, they're probably going to release it on the next proprietary format that they can think of.
Oh, dude! I mean,
PS4.
I was going to say they're rocking. Yeah. I was going to say they're rocking and rolling with Blu-ray, but Blu-ray, you know, hey, we beat HD DVD, but you know, people are downloading stuff instead. So,
I'm willing to actually say putting the animated movie on Blu-ray would be a bad idea. And the reason I say that is I popped in the Sony remastered DVD not too long ago, and I watched it on my HD TV on a little bit better DVD player than my old one that I used to watch it on. And hey, high definition as it was remastered, it looked like a Flash cartoon.
Nice.
Yay. So Blu-ray looks clearer than real life. So,
wasn't that a Futurama joke?
I think so. But it's like, wow, people are like, wow, it looks real. It's like, no, that looks better than real because you're like not that clear next to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't buy the rumor, but it's just crazy enough to where it kind of makes you think, you know.
Huh. I wonder if Masterpiece Rodimus has a spot to put the Matrix from Masterpiece Prime in its chest.
I don't know.
Obviously, the flames don't open up, so it's not like screen accurate, and everyone's going to complain.
So
everyone's going to complain about something about it anyway. I mean,
yeah, why isn't it not Optimus? Who's this Rodimus Prime guy?
Rodimus Texors.
I'm just waiting for Takara to come out with one that says it's like Rodimus Convoy, the Less Succored Edition. And it's going to have like a slightly different red, and the flames are going to be a slightly different color.
So,
Last Masterpiece, though, yeah, big old goatee.
They're going to end up doing a special like contest prize version in chrome as Primus.
Chrome silver. You have to buy it from the local 7-Eleven.
Rodimus colors, like the last one.
Oh, guys, it's Takara. What the hell is he doing white and called Ultra Magnus for? It doesn't even look like him.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. So, the next bit of news we have. Masterpiece movie MP-MO2 Bumblebee announced. So, it's a more detailed repaint of Battleops Bumblebee.
Yeah, I love this new Masterpiece movie line. It's like, what? It's actually cheaper to buy it in America now. First,
yeah. I mean, they like just like the leader Starscream. They're pretty much just taking a widely available figure and then doing something not very cool or fancy. Yeah, just like, oh, we're going to give a 5-year-old a paintbrush and see what he can do, and then they're going to sell it for.
Okay, to be fair, Leader Starscream, I understand, was designed by the person who designed a lot of the Masterpiece stuff.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yes, it was, yes.
So, I mean, there's some minor justification for selling it as a Masterpiece. Minor,
very minor.
I'd like to see Buster Prime get re-released as a Masterpiece now for more money.
Right.
Just to see if this takes off, because I've already seen where people are like clamoring to import Masterpiece Starscream when it's like, go to Walmart.
Yeah.
Just go.
Well, I kind of like
buy a black shoe box there and just put it in there.
I kind of like the Masterpiece version having the cleaner paint job.
Hmm.
you know, I wouldn't pay the extra for it, but I at least appreciate the difference between the two versions.
Yeah, I can understand.
If I could get it for the same price as the American one, I'd probably go for it.
You can get you
probably
some,
not, but you know,
here in a couple of months when Target has some crazy clearance, you can buy him and like some Goo Gone and like rub off tattoos, and hey, there he is.
Yep.
So, pictures of Takara's Voyager Wingblade Optimus.
Huh. Looks like a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not I good.
Like watermelon. And
that's your favorite.
Mm-hmm. I like the grape ones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, before I realized that there was going to be a clear Voyager Optimus coming with the Wingblade stuff, I was already mad at this for being a Voyager Optimus coming with the Wingblade stuff. I wanted the deluxe without the battle damage like Hasbro was going to give us.
Yeah.
This just sucks.
Too freaking bad.
It's a great toy, though. I mean, God, I love Voyager Optimus. Great.
It is.
In a vaguely related note, I found the other day that Takara is going to be selling their version of Rollout Command Optimus for around $90.
Ah, I got mine for $20.
Whoa, Masterpiece Animated Optimus Prime.
That'd be great.
Watch the forums. Like, go to a Big Lots and then buy a black shoe box and put it in there. Maybe print out a picture of them and glue it on there. You've got it.
Oh, and speaking of the Deluxe Optimus without the battle damage, Takara is releasing one of those in opaque plastic as a raffle prize.
You are never going to get this toy, my friend.
No, I'm not.
You now.
Never going to want it.
I wasn't very happy with that toy anyway, so I don't care if it has battle damage or not.
Yeah, I always wanted a clean version of it. I mean, it did just fine for me. I like the giant axe, for one thing.
And did have the pipes, so he was kind of G1-y.
Yeah, I don't really care about that, but still.
I'm just trying to back you up with something.
With some justification.
Okay, thank you.
And trying to help you
some
out.
Some
but...
justification besides that I want it.
And he's got random spinning punch action, doesn't he?
Just like the Deluxe Classics Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I'm going to fend you off, guys. Okay, hold up. I'm spinning. Oh, why am I wearing this face mask?
So we have some new Hasbro trademarks, which have been filed.
Spark your summer!
Spark your summer, buddy.
In the fall.
Unfortunately, it's not for Transformers.
Really?
Well, spark your summer. I'm just making
I have a feeling it was the wrong convention.
Sparker Summer,
gotcha.
Lilith's Pet Shops.
Actually, it's in Pasadena next year, so Spark Your Summer is actually for the convention down the street, which is for our Marijuana Growers Convention.
Gotcha. It's like a Nerf competition, which, wait a minute. Guys, let's go to Nerf.
I was thinking for like KY, Yours and Mine convention or something. So.
Yeah, well,
that was so sick.
That's perfect for Pasadena. That's where all that gets, you know,
yeah,
made.
Well,
yeah.
06 was at KY with the big fist coming through the floor.
Okay, so Autobot Alliance is the next trademark which has been filed.
Which is surprising, because that was all over BotCon and San Diego Comic-Con.
So I guess it's kind of like too late. It's like, oh, well, we might as well secure it's that.
It was kind of like, oh, crap, we forgot to do this trademark.
I've been there. Destination Earth.
That sounds like a cool show on Sci-Fi or something like...
No, that was Destination Truth, and that wasn't cool at all.
No, this is going to be the cool one. We're like finding amazing mysteries on Earth. Here, you know, like they'll show all these things like monsters and crypto things and all that. And, like, turns out the planet was Earth
all along.
Exactly.
No, that was Planet of the Apes.
This will be a sci-fi original. No one knows the difference.
So
everyone, get ready for Shocktopus.
Alien Hunter
and unlock the secrets. That
once again, Lilith's Pet Shops.
Yeah, that does sound more like Lilith's Pet Shops than
which the girlfriend collects, and that does kind of sound like something one of their promotions.
You know, they should. Is Lilith's Pet Shop, is that a Hasbro property?
Yeah,
they should. They should totally like bring back Battle Beasts and sort of have them interact somewhat. That would be pretty cool.
It's awesome.
It's a Transformers crossover. Is the next one's going to be little pet shop?
Hey, dude, cross
my
promotion.
Next custom.
Yeah, you cross promote all you can.
And you get especially you guys. If anyone ever wants to complain again about repaints and Transformers, go to the girls' aisle and look at those littlest pet shops. It's like, wow, that dog has been repainted 5 billion times, and that mold has held up well.
So I might as well ask. It's not in the notes, but XV and I were talking about it earlier today. Is the guy still in the Discovery Channel building with the hostages, or is that
no? He's dead.
He's dead. So my question
more
was
things to discover.
My question to XV was how many people are out there thinking, does this affect the new Transformers cartoon in any way? You know, is
oh,
who
no.
is that?
I don't know. I mean,
the
hub. It's the hub.
Well, no, that's what people were thinking when 9/11 happened.
Yeah. God,
how I'm does glad this, I wasn't how did, around during that time. I probably would have come unglued.
No. The thing with 9/11 was, I really wish they would play Skybite Saves the Day or whatever the name of the episode was. It's not fair that they're not airing that episode.
I was vaguely perturbed about the whole 9/11 thing because, like, okay, the first couple of days, sure, but it's like the next week, can I watch a cartoon now?
Yeah.
Which is pretty selfish of me, admittedly, but still, it's like.
There's
a balance between the selfishness and them just harping on it more than they need to 24 hours a day.
And
that's
human
the thing,
nature.
Is that people have like kids and stuff. Like, you know, you're going to show them the awful news over and over and over and over again. Oh, look, mommy, here's the clip again where the kids or the guy's falling out of the window. How is that entertaining?
Or they could have showed Skybite saving the building from falling down. That would have been much better. That would have warmed my heart.
Actually, on the 11th, they were only up to the third episode of RID.
Yeah. It was kind of ironic seeing, like, the first episode of RID was the whole Megatron flying through buildings, and then the next episode is like, by the way, a plane just flew through buildings. Your cartoon's preempted today.
Actually, they did the same thing with Our Worlds at War in DC, like the Twin Towers in this big DC crossover. Like, the week before was destroyed. It was kind of creepy and prescient.
Okay.
I said prescient. Okay. What?
This is an educational podcast.
Yes, it is an educational podcast.
The first RID, like I said, Megatron in hand mode flying through a skyscraper. The second episode was about a terrorist bombing.
Great.
And then the third episode would have aired on the 11th.
Yeah.
They
pushed that back.
Ironically, that was the first episode of the series not to involve mass property damage.
You know,
I can't believe you remember that.
I remember it.
Oh, no, I don't remember the third episode.
They didn't air.
What Train to the Rescue?
Here's a guilty nerd association with 9/11. On 9/10, I did an all-night toy hunt to find Wave 2 RID toys, which you guys know.
I'm really sorry about that.
Well, I was, like, really stoked to have the jets because I didn't get the Machine Wars jets.
Yeah,
so I was
me
like,
too.
Cool. And I was sitting down, and I kind of fiddled with them a little before I went to bed because it was, like, 3 in the morning by the time I finally got home. And I was like, wow. And then I just, like, kind of thought, you know, in the cartoon, Megatron's done flown through a building, whatever. It'd be cool if they did, like, an OAV where these guys flew through a building with guns blazing. And the next day, my mom calls me and wakes me up and tells me to go buy gas. And I'm like, what? And she's like, don't you know what's going on? Oh, when I turn on TV. And yeah, I kind of remember 9/11 thanks to thinking, man, it'd be cool if these planes flew into a building.
Oh.
Oops.
Yeah, I always feel guilty about that, even though it's like,
if
the cartoon's been doing it.
We don't know that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, well, the cartoon did it like a year before in Japan. It's just kind of going status quo.
Yeah. I remember being jacked up on Stacker 2 that day for some reason.
I'm jacked up on Stacker 2.
Yeah.
For some reason you can't remember.
Yeah. I think everybody could probably remember what they were doing when they found out that something was, you know, flew into the airplanes flew into those buildings. I was like half asleep and my husband's like, hey, an airplane hit one of the towers in New York City. And I was like, oh, really? Wow. Maybe it was an accident. Oh, my gosh, there's another one just hit the other one. I was like, oh, oh crap. Then I was like, okay, I'm getting out of bed now.
I was at lunch in school.
I wasn't born yet.
Right.
Right. Brian ages now, my twice kids can, as fast.
Yes.
My kids can claim that. They weren't born yet.
I was doing Rocky Horror at the time, and the following weekend, the theater was completely empty because people were avoiding movie theaters because they thought planes were going to come flying into them or something.
Well, and now they do. Like, it's 3D, so.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, I'm pretty sure the terrorists have more to kill than Rocky Horror crowds. Like, someone important.
Yeah, that wasn't their intention.
Yeah, it's like, who am I going to kill, the infidels or those annoying people that keep doing the same movie every weekend?
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Let's get off the 9/11 talk, even though it's
getting
a little bit creepy. So Transformers 3 budget hits, smacks, flies all the way through, you can sort of say, and topples it down. $400 million. That's a lot.
Very nice, Joey.
Yeah, I know.
Good God.
Yeah.
You know, we got an economic crisis going on, guys, and this toy commercial gets
boring. I know.
Hey, well, you know, at least the $400 million is going towards employing people and paying cities, things like that. So, you know, at least they're getting the money and they're spending the money and, you know, Detroit is getting money.
Clearly, you know, I need to have a talk with the boss and say, you know, forget the security crap. Let's open up a catering business and go near movie sets.
Dude, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, $400 million is a huge chunk of change. Is that the biggest movie of all time, budget-wise?
Not really, but it's pretty big.
Not counting for inflation, of course. I mean, they're probably Waterworld may have topped that, I guess.
I'm Googling now.
Waterworld wasn't.
Oh, Google.
What would we do without you?
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean,
the world would stop without Google.
I guess we'd be back to like InfoSeek.
What, Peter?
Waterworld at that time,
it was the
when
highest.
It first came out, was the biggest, most expensive movie ever. But then it flopped terribly, and then James Cameron came out with Titanic, and that blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which makes sense because they decided to blow up a real like just
a real ship.
That, yeah, just the way that they did.
So, Josh Keaton hints that he may be the role of Bumblebee in Transformers Prime.
Which has been rumored for quite a while. He posted a picture.
Bumblebee's going to have a voice? This is news.
Bumblebee should have a voice. Bumblebee should be Pops
and
Clicks.
Everybody's been saying he's not going to have a voice. So it's like, great, we're going to have a mute Bumblebee.
Well, it's in a throwaway chapter that was just posted to MTV and stuff, not in the book. So at the end of the day, Hasbro will be like, those are outtakes. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. That was not part of canon. Don't worry. But
it's a multiverse. Don't worry about it.
Josh Keaton has done it before where it's like a dual thing where he was at Comic-Con or something like that. And he took a picture. He got a picture with Bumblebee and he said, look, we match. But. He was also wearing a yellow shirt. So you could construe that in multiple ways. But
he's going to be Charlie Brown.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think they should make him wear a red shirt. He can be one of the guys that gets bumped off.
So who is this dude? And should he be Bumblebee? Or, I mean, what has he done before?
He's a voice actor.
What has Josh Keaton done for me lately?
Yeah, that's the real question. What has this dude done for me lately?
He voiced the new somebody in Shattered Dimensions, that new Spider-Man game.
Ah.
And, yeah.
All right, let's go take a look.
According to Wikipedia, he was in the
Arby's.
Spectacular Spider-Man. He was Peter Parker in Spectacular Spider-Man, the cartoon.
Oh, okay. I know
he is.
Which is
actually a pretty good cartoon.
That's good.
Yeah. He was also the Flash in Crisis on Two Earths.
Oh, he was pretty good. He was pretty good.
Looks like he's also done a lot of video game work.
And he was also Charlie Carbone in Kangaroo Jack G'day USA.
Whoa. So
that's probably not something he's too proud of.
Yeah.
This guy is good.
Yeah, that's like saying I was in like Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, or whatever it was called.
I heard that movie was hilarious.
Not really.
It was kind of funny.
Oh,
You had to see it just to go, oh, that's kind of cool.
This is kind of funny. TF3 could be the most expensive movie of all time, at least judging by this list on Wikipedia.
That's what, like, that one guy, Lester Spite, was saying. He said it's has eclipsed Titanic.
Waterworld, before inflation, $175 million.
That's it? With inflation?
Or which cost as much as Evan Almighty.
Whoa. Oh,
we all know how well that did.
Yeah, well, CGI. apparently, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End was $300 million, and that's kind of it until then, unless it's Wikipedia, so who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, they're saying in production.
Actually, I'm looking at Wikipedia, and it says this podcast is actually the highest biggest budgeted movie ever, so...
Well, I haven't got done editing everything yet, guys.
Okay, sorry.
It also says we are the number one most listened to podcast in the world.
In the world.
Well, ooh, guys, I just finished adjusting.
Yeah.
We are the first one, right?
Close. Very close.
I swear it wasn't me that says Jesus.
Practically speaking, yes.
So,
No, nobody knows or cares. I care, but it doesn't matter.
We care, so it keeps us going, like, hey, let's do better. We're number one. Let's be number one plus.
One plus.
You know?
Woo. Okay, so let's see here. Family Mart Japanese convenience store exclusive Clear Revenge of the Fallen Prime. Okay.
Yeah, that's one of those raffle prizes I was talking about before.
It looks like something you would find at a Big Lots.
Funny how that works in Japan, isn't it?
Yeah, he looks like he's one of those oversized toys that you would find at Big Lots on one of those giant cards. But
it probably is.
I guess not.
They were like, you know, guys, let's pretend that this is a Chinese knockoff that's being sold in the United States and package it this way.
I'm for that. That's exactly what they should do. Actually, I was in a... is anyone familiar with Magic Mart? It's kind of like if Walmart merged with Big Lots, and like all the super Walmarts closed and they all went back to the old Walmarts, because that's where Magic Mart opens up. It opens up in old Walmarts. They sell just like old stuff and like clearance stuff and stuff like that. But they have tons and tons and tons of the Star Saber and Victory Leo knockoffs, as well as
the Robot Masters ones.
Yeah, as well as the Axer, and who was the other?
Sideways,
yeah. That set as well. So if you ever want one of those, give me a yell and I'll go pick one up for like $1. So
nice.
Yeah.
Magic Mark sounds great.
It is pretty awesome. I always wanted that Hulk Transformers crossover tank, the gray one. I saw it there yesterday. I haven't seen it in like a year and a half, 2 years. And I was looking at it, I was like, I want this. I did. Okay.
I saw a cool custom of that where a dude made it to a Beast Machines Optimus Primal. Ooh. And it looked great.
Ooh, I can see that.
All right, it was like, wow, I wish I was this good.
Yeah. Be pretty sweet.
At anything.
You're good at life.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got the stories to prove it.
That is very true. Let me tell you about this next story I got. First, take a look at Human Alliance sideswipe with... I'll tell you about that later, Amy. First official look at Human Alliance sideswipe with Michaela, and it's out September 2010. Isn't it a little late to start bringing out Michaela stuff?
That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
I'm just like, couldn't they
She's like old news now.
Maybe she has, a feature where she dies.
They should just like make a Bag of Hangers figure to include with that.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
I
was trying to explain.
That's just wrong.
Kim and I were in a mall last week, and we walked by Victoria's Secret, and I pointed to What's Her Face, and it's like, hey, look, there's the Bag of Hangers. And I was trying to explain to her that that's Rob's name for whatever her name is. She didn't really appreciate the joke, but it's...
Did she give you that look like, oh my gosh, Brian, I can't believe you just said that?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
It's more like, oh my god, what have I married?
Yeah, I get that too. So yeah, we get sideswiped with Michaela. Yay.
Sideswipe looks nice, but it's like, couldn't you guys made like one of the other humans in the movie? I mean, you made Agent Simmons, you could make, I don't know, the dad or somebody, Leo.
No, make the mom.
Yeah, make the mom. There we go. The actually, take this figure and scribble out Michaela on the box and write Sam's pot junkie mom.
30 years in the past.
There's already, they sideswipe, turned black, and traveled back in time.
And no, like sideswipe, turned black, and traveled through a wormhole or a black hole. Because that's why everybody wears black in the Transformers universe, is to go to a black hole.
Okay.
Well, that was Axer's excuse in Nucleon Quest Optimus Prime.
You got me. I started thinking the Killing Jar is what I started thinking about. So,
well, they don't turn black when they go that way.
They turn all topsy-turvy and crazy.
Right. They don't even turn inverted colors. They just turn random colors.
They just turn random colors, yeah. So,
why don't we have Killing Jar repaints of stuff yet?
Didn't we? I thought we got a Killing Jar repaint of something. It was like
I think that was Scythe's things.
It was what?
Scythe's Customs, wasn't it?
Yeah. Scythe did a lot of his...
The Heroes of Cybertron repaints.
Home baked.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a lot of those because he was running out of ideas.
That's true.
And that was cool, but we need, like, official ones, you know. Especially classic Cyclonus or Universe Cyclonus, I mean.
Yeah.
They should do something with them, after all.
Yeah.
Other than limited amounts.
Right.
Let's see here.
What's next?
Is that it for the news? Or we Shia LaBeouf was there. LaBeouf, how do you even say it?
It's LaBeouf.
LaBeouf, yeah.
LaBeouf. actor worth the most bang for the buck.
Apparently, they haven't been watching these bangs.
Yeah.
It's like Shia LaBeouf taking '80s property. He'll fit. Yeah.
Historically, so, isn't it like Jeff Goldblum? Because Jeff Goldblum has appeared in like all these huge '90s movies that went on to make, you know, ungodly amounts of money. They couldn't have been paying him more than a couple $100,000 a film.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, he gets paid $1, and the studios make an average of $81. Yeah.
Well, they did say bang for the buck, not quality. They just said, hey, got every cent out of him.
Right, exactly. They basically
put him in a movie full of explosions. That's your bang for your Shia buck.
So what they're saying is they're basically like the person that is this list should be not the most bang for your buck. It should be the actor that is getting ripped off the most by the studios.
Yeah.
There you go.
Actually, I'm certain I would take whatever they're paying Shia for his role.
You would probably take half.
I would take half. I would be generous and take half. I would take half of it and then give like my half of my half to charity. That's how, you know, much he's making.
I really would like to see him in his new movie just to see his normal acting style in an intelligent movie. You know, he's in Wall Street 2.
Yeah. Okay, well, Bunny when never you actually sleeps. Get into an intelligent movie, you can get your wish, Rob.
Well, he's going to be like, having to say big words, you know, and start going, okay, doing the day trading, well, you know. I mean, I like the guy, but that's his shtick for his entire career as being the awkward, dorky, bumbling guy. And here he has got to trade some money. I'm sorry, if my broker comes at me, you really need to invest in this stuff, you know, it'll be good.
No.
You're fired.
No, it's not going to be like that. What it is, he's going to vaguely mouth the words, and then later on they're going to get somebody who sounds like him to come back and go over it.
It's going to be dubbed over.
Yeah.
Right. So,
what's Dustin Diamond doing?
My girlfriend and I actually had this conversation about, she was like, I like him as an actor. I was like, yeah, I guess, but he does, like, I don't really, he's kind of the same guy, you know, like he just basically acts the same way, and he speaks the same way. He doesn't change his delivery of his lines.
Kind of like Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, exactly. Except for Morgan Freeman sounds awesome.
You
want to
hear Morgan Freeman speak.
Yeah. It's like, wow, yeah, I love it when Morgan Freeman plays Morgan Freeman in every movie that Morgan Freeman is in. It's excellent.
Yeah, it's great.
I think Will Ferrell's a better example here.
Will Ferrell, Anchorman, he was a little different, but everything else.
Yeah,
well,
but
yeah, I mean, it proves my point well enough, though.
Yeah, I agree.
But so it's the same point. It's just that he basically takes the same roles. He's the innocent guy who gets roped into something that he doesn't understand.
which is better than the parts Will Ferrell takes, admittedly.
I don't. I kind of enjoy Will Ferrell.
What works for you?
I'd rather see Will Ferrell these days, and I really liked Even Stevens too. I don't. I'm a little conflicted at this point.
You keep saying that.
What they need to do is do like Land of the Lost to make a remake movie of Even Stevens with Will Ferrell.
Now we got a movie.
Yeah.
Now we have him, and let's make things crazy. Will Ferrell's gonna be the daughter.
Oh my god.
Dad, Lewis took my candy.
Okay, sweet. Okay, so let's look at what's going on this day in history. JD, oh wait, JD's not here, so I'll do it. September 2nd, 2007, Transformers.
No, September 2nd, 2008.
September 2nd, 2008.
GXP, why don't you do it?
Yeah, no, here's the reason. September 2nd, 2008, Transformers, the 2007 movie, is released on Blu-ray. The reason it came out so late is because it was originally, if I remember correctly, released on HD DVD first.
It sure was.
Got it.
Which I actually own a copy of that on HD DVD.
And Michael Bay threatened to quit Transformers 2 because it came on HD DVD instead of Blu-ray. But what he didn't remember was that Universal, right? Not Universal, I'm sorry. Paramount, which is owned by what, Viacom? Was a backer of HD DVD.
Oops!
So, well, they gambled. They failed. So did Disney. And no,
so did Kilby.
Yeah, Kilby. Well, Kilby seems to be reaping a lot of the benefits at this point.
You know, I got it on clearance for like $30. And I've been at Ross this week. I saw a copy of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix or something for $4.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, so I Kilby can. Whenever I want something on Blu-ray, it's like, well, I can get it on Blu-ray for $20, or I can get it on HD DVD and it looks just as good for $3. So,
yeah.
Guess which one I buy.
And it's pretty much like, oh, I want this movie. Hey, let's see what's in the clearance rack.
Yeah. Well, you really can't even find that stuff on clearance anymore. It's mostly Amazon fodder. But or occasionally you will go to Ross and they'll have something. I've actually found some great stuff at Ross, like cheap.
Mm, well, you got it at Ross. Yeah. That's the best way to go.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, this is also a good reminder of when Michael Bay once again thinks he's in charge of the movies. It's reality handed. He's like, no, that's it. I'm not doing Transformers 2. Hasbro called. I'm under contract. You know, like, didn't he say Transformers 3 wasn't coming out until like 2013 or something? Then he's like, oh, they'd called me.
Yeah, he said he would take it.
This will be the end of the trilogy.
And do a small movie. And then they're like, Mr. Bay, we're going to pay you twice as much as we paid you for Transformers 2. Oh,
okay. I'll do it.
Yeah. It's like, Mr. Bay, you're under contract for 3 movies. You work for us. Get to work. Make new movie.
You know what? $350 million of that budget is probably Michael Bay's paycheck.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I love in those reports he's saying this is going to be the end of the trilogy. And then like he's going to take it to Hasbro and he's going to like, the movie's held back. I got to make a new ending.
Damn. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Who's taking over next? John Cusack.
And he's going to fall in love with some like woman and then he's going to not write an ending.
Yeah. Here, this would be the original ending. The ending to the trilogy. It doesn't end with a Linkin Park song. Optimus doesn't give a monologue. Optimus looks in the skies and goes, well, that's that. And then it like just plays like the touch or something.
Somebody called BS on it because yes. Linkin Park has to make a song for some reason and make some really terrible video for it.
So the next movie, and this will be the new ending now to keep it going on, even if Michael Bay is not in part four and it's done by, like, I don't know.
Bryan Singer.
Or someone really good, like the guy who made 16 Candles or something.
And but, Shyamalan.
Yes, there we go.
Shyamalan twist.
At the end, the Autobots were the bad guys. One fanfic, I was right.
yeah, Raksha jumps out of the woodworks. I told you people.
So the new ending, Optimus Prime looks up into the sky. Well, other Autobots out there, we're going to fight them still, okay? All right. Ding, 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 ding. Linkin Park.
You just have to mix the two songs together.
I'm so sad. And now I'm going to rap.
You know, actually, did the directors... the DVD release or Blu-ray release of Transformers 2 somehow, some way include the Stan Bush, Toger Faith or whatever his name is, Holger Faith, Stan's what? BFF, Holger Faith, the guy who did the rap part to the Touch.
Smiley Vic Rappenstein.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't you remember that?
Don't.
Peter, you don't know that?
What are you talking about?
I love Stan Bush, but have you ever heard, like, Bad?
Yeah, the God, I can't believe you missed this. They Stan released a new version of The Touch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For the Transformers 2. It was,
I'm laughing thinking about it.
I remember that video. It was hilarious.
And like, you got The Touch. You got The Touch. No one else can come through.
You know, it's kind of sad. It's he probably paid for that to be in the DVD.
He just released a new version of today, even he's saying, without the rap. And it's like, edited.
No, I don't know that it was released. I think he was lobbying for it to be. Actually, if I remember correctly, he was lobbying to be in the first movie. But I think he was.
I've got to eat. I'm very hungry. Stan Bush not like us anymore.
We love you, Stan.
We really do.
Remember, Stan, I got to The Touch, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him. It's like, how many millions of dollars would he get for having a song in it?
Hopefully not in public.
What do I need to sing?
Yeah.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
God, Rob.
You know, all of a sudden, I want to hear the Stan Bush cover of Go Go Power Rangers.
You know, pay him $5 and I'm certain he'll do it for you.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I didn't want to say it.
Actually, if you want to hear what it would be like, go back and listen to his Sailor Moon song.
Oh.
You know, I put that in an episode of Superhero Time.
You did?
Just listen to his
Brian listens all the time.
The Bloodsport song. Just listen to that and you know what the Power Rangers song will sound like. Instead of
Kumite,
Power Rangers, Power
Rangers. You got to Power Rangers!
And then the other guy will get the award he should have got.
Okay, so let's see here.
This is the kind of thing that happens when we don't actually have a topic to talk about one week.
Yeah, so we just start spouting random crap.
It's okay. It's cool to do this kind of thing, I hear.
Yeah, so once in a while to not have any focus whatsoever.
It's our blowing stuff, off steam show.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay. What else do we have? Do we have anything else?
I think we can take a break.
Records Awareness Week.
Yeah, okay, Amy, tell us about Records Awareness Week.
You guys aware yet?
Yes, I hope so. So we're just trying to promote it. The trade paperback comes out today, although I've only seen like one post that said, oh, I have it. So, and that was in Florida. So I called three different places. I haven't been able to find it. So I'm like, the waiting game on like most people are right now. But yes, the Underbase did a podcast yesterday. It came up. It's actually available now.
Awesome.
And yeah.
How do we get to it?
Go check it out. How do we get to it? Go to moonbase2.org and click on the Underbase.
Awesome. Okay.
And it'll take you right there. Yep. We talk all about it. We re-reviewed it, and then we're gonna re-review Bullets at a later date because we didn't after talking with the artist and the writer. We the way that it was intended to read was you read the comic, then you read Bullets. Then you read the comic again, and we just didn't want to spoil it in that way. So, yeah, we're going to wait and let everybody else get it and read it, and then we're going to thoroughly wreck it. So, there you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon won't have my copy until I'm on vacation.
Yeah, probably for another 2 weeks. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I will actually be out of state when they send
it. What do you mean you're going on vacation?
Kilby doesn't go on vacations. He has to be here to podcast.
Yeah. What is this?
I'm going to try to be on the podcast, but I'm going to be the best man at a wedding in Connecticut. So,
It definitely takes precedence.
Cool.
Yeah. Occasionally, cool. There's certain things I do. You know, the podcast takes precedence over like work and family. You know, church.
Okay. See what you'll have to do. What day of the week is the wedding on?
Saturday.
Oh, okay. If it was on Sunday, I was going to say you'll just get your cell phone from the ceremony and be on Fanboy Versus that way.
Awesome.
awesome. With the power of the internet, you can do anything, because that's what I did when I was on vacation, and I still got on the podcast.
Yep.
I can be
last
everywhere.
Week of July.
Hey, I might as well mention. The contest. Go to tfvideo.net. Tfvideo.net. That will take you to our YouTube channel, which is TF Radio Network. That's our YouTube
channel
name. So what we're doing is we are giving away a Transformers animated Rodimus Minor, which is a Toys R Us exclusive, and to be eligible, all you have to do is become a subscriber. It's that easy. You know, you can request to be friends. I like friends. I never say no to friends, unless the friends is XV. But, you know, we'll be giving it away at the end of the month, the last show in September, which, trying to recall the day, it's the 29th. We'll be announcing it then. So you really, I said you have up until the 28th, but honestly, I'm not going to pick the winner until, like, the time of the show while we're on. So you have up until, like, the show starts Wednesday.
Yeah, Kilby is looking into renting one of those giant metal drums that he can spin around and pick a name out of.
No, I'm really not. I'm really, really
not. But it sounded really good.
So bingo?
No.
We're going to play online bingo.
Can you get one of those lotto ball machines?
Yeah. For working in radio, whenever we have random drawings, they are random, but it's usually random like, oh, I've got a number in my head, and the person who calls in, you know, like the seventh caller, which you don't announce as the seventh caller, is the person you're going to give it to. I'll have some random, truly, purely random way of, you know, figuring out who the winner is. But there's going to be no drum or anything like that, though it would be cool. But that would cost more than Hot Rod or Rodimus Minor, and, you know.
Right.
I've already got that invested in there, so I'm not going to invest in anything else. You know, if I was going to invest that kind of money, I would invest in something into, like, you know, maybe a Masterpiece Grimlock or something like that.
You know, if I was going to invest the
Kumite for it.
Yeah.
If I was going to invest money, I would buy it for myself.
That's true. Well, you know,
I wish I could find it.
I could do that, but I'm buying it for the fans. Or that lucky fan who happens to win. So, yeah, tfvideo.net takes you to our YouTube page. TF Radio Network is our YouTube channel. Just subscribe. It's easy, and you'll be eligible to win Transformers Animated Toys R Us exclusive Rodimus Minor, unless you're a, you know, staffer at Tformers or
TFradio.net.
Sorry.
Darn.
Yeah, I've got drum roll. Yeah, I've got it. Actually, hold on. I've got a request from the chat for the drum roll, so I will do the drum roll.
But it doesn't fit in this context.
No, it doesn't. But you know what? It's still pretty awesome.
No, what you should play in this context is Stan Bush's She's Got the Power.
Oh, I don't have it queued up.
Yeah, I know.
Can we also take the
magic
time?
Of the internet, you can do anything. You just do it in podcasting land. Right. Yeah.
Okay, I can't get it to work.
So in this context, can we also pimp the T-Formers contest that we're currently having?
Sure. What's the T-Formers contest going on right
it
now?
It is the T-Formers name your quote contest, and you get to win some War for Cybertron stuff.
Awesome. Ooh. What kind of stuff?
One is a mint and sealed card War for Cybertron Bumblebee signed by Aaron Archer.
That's pretty sweet, dude.
Poster for that is a War for Cybertron poster that is signed by the High Moon team.
Way to show us up, dude.
It's different, though. Animated or for Cyber. Why can't they just apply for both?
They could. No, that's pretty awesome. So how do anything else, or is that the?
Two runners up will receive a signed poster
by me.
Well, yes, by Brian Kilby, and one is by Rob Springer,
signed by Brian.
Yeah, who
are they signed by?
They're signed by the High Moon team as well.
Excellent, excellent.
And also, I know it's not for the people who went to BotCon or Comic Con, it's not as cool, but they will also be receiving one of these.
I have three of those in my back seat. Nice. I do intend to give those away at some point.
A lanyard, yeah. A War for Cybertron lanyard.
Those are pretty sweet.
Right? Yeah, my work got one.
So
So while we're mentioning contests, we're having a contest on the Enterbase too.
One more thing,
but it's not as cool as that one.
Weebum, yeah. how do you how are you eligible for this contest?
Just go to tformers.com. There, it's right on the news feature box. Click on the "Read How to Play Here," and then post your favorite quote. Pretty much just one entry per person, please. And then you can just say which quote that you like the most. Tell us who it is and where it's from, and automatically entered for the possibility to win stuff. You have until the 12th at 11:59 p.m.
Awesome.
I know what Kilby's favorite quote is.
Yes.
It must be from a Transformer.
Oh.
Darn.
Okay, so Amy, the Underbase has a contest. What's your contest?
The contest. Well, the podcast has it, says it better than I can. But basically, we are getting a signed copy of the trade paperback, Last Stand of the Wreckers,
awesome.
By James Roche. No, James Roberts and Nick Roche. And I can't remember if we're going to try and throw Josh in there or not. I don't remember. Darn.
They've become one.
Yeah. Go listen. Yeah, they become one. That'd be funny. Anyhow, you have to answer a question. You have to listen to our AA interview of both Nick Roche and James Roberts. So you get the answer. And, yeah.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. That's a really great prize. Sweet. Yeah, I encourage everyone.
Like the only one that'll have one because they didn't get it out until after AA. So, you know, you'll have to wait a year to get yours signed. You'll have the only copy that's officially signed.
We all have comparably awesome contests.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear about my contest?
Yes, Rob, please.
Sure. What is your...
If you, every Radio Free Cybertron listener, there's going to be a kumite. And the way to win a kumite is you have to knock out your opponent or have them say, give up by saying mate. It's in the movie. Winner...
It's like Uncle.
Exactly, but it's Japanesey. You send in your video of you winning the kumite, and you win a date with XV.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.
Signed by Brian Kilby.
Yes.
I take offense to that.
Fantastic.
And signed by Peter.
That is pretty awesome, Rob. That is pretty awesome.
What exactly are you taking offense to here?
He said something about Japanesey.
Well, Taiwanese... Where did that movie take place? A backlot in California? It sounds more backlot in California. I don't know.
No, I thought your contest was going to be buy Rob's stuff and he'll give you a virtual high five.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention it. Funny you mention that, Peter, because I have another contest going.
Oh no!
And former staff members and Radio Free Cybertron staff members can enter this prize. It's a you send Rob's stuff. And you'll win a date with XV.
Ooh.
Yeah. And XV works out.
Wait, Rob, I have a question.
Huh?
What if I send you something and win the contest?
Well, you're already on a date with yourself.
You get a date with yourself like 3 times a day, so you're cool.
You'll have a romantic date with yourself, XV.
Okay.
But he already has those 3 times a day.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything, but you got the touch.
You got the power. Damn straight. Okay. Okay, so do we have anything else, or is this like
everybody throw a last bits in?
This is the non-objective episode of Radio Free Cybertron. It's very Vasily Kandinsky.
John, you've been quite quiet. Do you have a contest that you'd like to announce?
No, but I'll get back to you next week. I'm sure I'll whip something up.
Should we have a contest for break time?
Actually, I don't think we didn't really have any breaks this show. Last week we had like
we haven't
50.
Had a break yet.
No, this is like a marathon. This is like a telethon.
This is like a telethon.
This is.
You know,
now.
We were going to have the second Wiki Spotlight, the second ever, but JD forgot to record it with McFeely this weekend, and I didn't get home in time to do it yesterday. So
well, that worked out great, didn't it?
Yeah, it
so here's the contest we got stuff for together. JD and McFeely. Submit the new part of the show in, and you will win a claim.
Yes.
And a date with XV.
And a date with XV.
Yeah, signed by Brian.
And Wreckers, thing signed by Nick Roche a year later. You will get it.
No, James Roche.
James Roche. No, Nick Roche. This other guy.
Down Robert. Get along, James. Sorry.
I'm kidding.
I got this guy with a mohawk named Roach down the street, dude. We're going to get this. No one will know.
Wasn't Roach like the name of the Cosby Kid's best friend?
Yes.
Yeah, Cockroach.
Yeah, and he was Cole on Martin also, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh,
which one was Boner on?
Growing Pains.
And
Growing
he's dead Pains. Now.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's dead now.
Yeah, well.
That's a dead
one.
What happens when you have a nickname like that?
I mean, that much blood flow.
He bled out.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess that's going to do it. We'll be back next week.
How about Twitter Theater? We didn't talk about that.
Who cares about Twitter Theater? So.
Brian is done with the show.
Let's go ahead. We can do Twitter Theater. I'm sorry. Rob, tell us about Twitter Theater.
No, I don't want to anymore.
Stop being a baby, XV.
XV, you can be a rough day. You win the chance to suck it up, and we'll go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do Twitter Theater, Rob.
Well, this week on Twitter Theater, we had a contest to place a video that would work in the context of the thing. And what did I post?
The Microman commercial.
Oh, yes. It was a Microman microchange commercial that's kind of just kind of strange where... Like, you know, I ever pick anything sane, but a child is sleeping and all his bedroom objects, which are the Microman microchange toys, start coming to life and walking around, kind of like Toy Story. But then his desk opens and a pistol comes floating out of it. It's the Browning robot from, Master Force Browning.
Yeah.
It was that mold. But yeah, the kid's just got a gun in his desk.
Well, it is Japan.
Yeah, Japan's a rough place, dude.
Pretty hard.
I was going to make a suicide joke, but it just didn't happen to me.
I think after our whole 9/11 thing a little while ago, we need to kind of just give it a rest for this week.
It's been kind of a risque episode.
Yeah. We've been very politically incorrect this week.
This is a very PG-13 episode of RSC.
I don't know. I think
surprisingly enough, no one swore yet.
I don't know. We can take it further.
You don't understand how many times I almost swore.
we could totally take it farther, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, that's the
probably
the
wise
show time for the live watchers. That's what they get for sticking in.
I could just as well go there.
So we haven't really had a topic, and I really really like the topic Barricade suggested. Earlier on in the chat session. So let's just hit it real quick. His suggestion was, are there any toys out there that you just pull out because you feel kind of obligated to play with them, that you just feel the need to go and look at or transform or pose, that happens ever so often? Are there any toys like that that you really feel the need to just look at or play with? Anybody?
Under three.
Mine is retracts. Honest, really? Honest to God. No, it's not really that random. I want to go out and pull retracts up and, you know, just sort of pose his arms wide like he is and make him stand down, kneel, and looks like he's about to jump or pounce up on you. It's pretty cool. Retracts is a great toy.
See, I'd want to get the Japanese version, though, because they named it Power Hug.
I've got both. And they can hug each other.
I love the way Power Hug looks, but I didn't pick him up.
I got him on the fact that his name is Power Hug, actually.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's blue and he's going to hug somebody. Retracts. He hugs, but kind of his name's Retract. No, guys, really. No, this is not comfortable. Power Hug, come here. Give me one. Yeah.
Hug me.
Delina, you have a pretty wicked collection. Anything you feel the need to pull out occasionally?
So to speak. if you're talking about contemporary toys, I have a couple of activators on my desk at work, which I feel compelled to fiddle with. So
now that you're like in a leadership position at work,
yeah.
Do you feel like you can't have these toys and such at your desk?
No. God, no.
Now that he's in a leadership position, he actually takes them to meetings.
Yeah, I actually force them on people. I actually order them to play with them. No, But you know what? It's to be fair, I work in marketing, which is stereotypically thought of as the weird creative people.
That's true.
So you almost get credit for projecting yourself as a weird creative person. And so you have to have like desk toys. So it works.
I got those.
I don't have
it. So yeah, activators are what I fiddle with. It's like the quick changing stuff is the stuff that I feel compelled to just mess around with because there's like no commitment there. Like you know, I'm not going to get caught in this 10-minute transformation and get bored with it and like regret my decision to pick up this toy. Hello, masterpiece, everything.
Yeah, I was just going to say you need to have a Masterpiece Prime on your desk.
I had one, but I didn't ever try.
Because you can be sure no one else in the office is going to touch your desk toys.
Yeah, never.
See, you guys have toys on your desk. I get knifed.
Nice.
You've got an awesome job.
My desk cut me today. It was not funny.
Did your desk like throw out your wallet?
What did you do to your desk?
It's a government-owned desk, which means it's old, archaic, and nobody cares about it.
That's true.
Oh, so you devalued your desk, and so it decided to attack you.
It devalued itself. I didn't need to. It was just lashing out at anger. I'm an old desk.
Your mom devalued herself.
XV. So, my general rule of thumb for my desk stuff at work is if I'm afraid someone's going to steal it, I don't take it. So my desk is littered with Robot Heroes and Robot Heroes and Robot Heroes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Robot Heroes. If that was at school, they would be like completely taking them away.
Yeah.
Because like every kid goes by like, oh, I want this one.
I want the Robot Hero.
It's interesting. I also have the Maddie Collector Masters of the Universe stuff that I still have up to because I really don't care. And it was interesting.
You haven't burned it yet?
No.
Sorry.
The vice president of my department came to my desk and started talking to me about Masters of the Universe. That was really odd. I'm like, how much older are you than I am? Why do you know this stuff? So it was kind of odd. It made me feel like really inadequate.
Did you see my fanzine, Kilby, about He-Man toys?
But yeah, so no, for me, like I said, it was retracts that I pull out, and occasionally G2 Optimus Prime, just so I can press the little button. I am Optimus Prime. I love doing that. So
no, you need to have Megatron because Megatron attack.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have anything else?
I've got the touch.
Yeah. I got to the touch.
I got power.
Yeah. So I guess that means
no.
Yeah. Okay. So check us out, tfradio.net. Lots of podcasts, lots of stuff. Check out our contest. Go to tfvideo.net. Subscribe, and you will be eligible. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio and become a fan on Facebook. Radio Free Cybertron. Pretty sweet. Pretty easy. And heck, while you're at it, become a fan of Lady Wreck because she has way more fans than any of us. So,
I don't have fans. So
yeah, I don't have fans either. I
just got cops.
Yeah.
You know, I put that up there just because I said a lot of people said that they were my fans. So I thought, well, I don't want to banning my page.
You are
so
branding yourself. I like that.
No, I'm sad. I know.
Why are you sad?
No, I said it's sad.
This will like completely change your Etsy store.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like
pimp out your Etsy store.
It's like the Lady Wreck made this. Holy crap! I'm going to buy 500 of these. Then on Rapid Auto Assembly 2012 or whatever. Okay, so that's it. Check out Radio Free Cybertron at tfradio.net. Subscribe, all that stuff. I'm Brian Kilby. With me, I have Peter, Rob, John XV, and Lady Wreck. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts Brian Kilby, JD Church, Ender, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, and XV. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.